and welcome to a very special edition of the Full Force News Burst, brought to you by GeneralsJoes.com, with me as your host, Chris, you've probably never heard of me, McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. On this instalment of your absolutely favourite kind of burst, we have managed to wrangle artist, inker, writer, and general all-round superstar Brian Shearer on the show to discuss his art book Kickstarter project and current work on G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, and G.I. Joe vs. the $6 Million Man, the longest titles in comic history. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this news burst. With just 12 days to go, The Art of Brian Shearer Volume 1 is closing in on its goal of $7,000 and is looking pretty impressive based on some of the great images we have seen so far. Who better to help us talk about this awesome Kickstarter than the man himself, Brian Shearer? Thank you for joining us, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the invite.
Absolutely. I mean, take us through the project. Why did you decide to do this in the first place?
Well, I'd been toying with the idea for a while. I mean, anybody that follows me on Twitter and Instagram and all the various other grams and tubes knows that I post I mean, I post a lot of art because, I mean, I'll sketch and, you know, just doodle things. And I realized that I had years worth of stuff.
In a week.
Well, I have folders and folders and folders of things I've uploaded. I'm like, why don't I just make a book? So yeah. The beginning of the year, it was kind of one of my side projects. And of course, you know, a side project, Kickstarter is never really a side thing. At least not, well, no, it's never. I was going to say just for the duration of the campaign, but even after, you have to actually...
you have to deliver on it, right?
Deliver on it. So I started putting it together in January. And then about March, I was like, well, if I'm going to do it, I might as well just do it. So I launched it. It's going to be over 100 pages of sketches and some of my commission work, and I've got like some process images, like pencils, inks, final color, different things, and some travel sketchbooks from San Diego Comic-Con, because I always keep a sketchbook when I'm out there. And
cool.
So hopefully, you know, that's the 7,000 is just to get that done. And it's got a stretch goal. If it hits 10,000, I'm going to add a tutorial, like a marker tutorial, like I do with my commissions, and a bonus comic in the back, and just try to expand it a little bit. So that's kind of where we're at right now. Seems to be doing pretty good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, how have you found the actual Kickstarter itself has gone, like, since you kind of launched it? Is it kind of like as at expectation or beyond expectation at the moment?
I did a Kickstarter a couple years ago, and back then someone told me, you know, you get that initial burst of people who you've told about it, and then the middle is kind of like the desert, you know, you get it just
yeah,
and then the last barren week people, yeah, the last week everybody's like, oh, I wanted to be a part of that. It did do a little bit better. I think we had gotten almost halfway funded in the first week, or actually we did get halfway funded in the first week, which I didn't expect. So it's been doing really, really well. I think we're about, at the time of this recording, about $1,000 away. So we're right about 6,000.
Nice.
So, there's hope for the stretch goal, I think.
I mean, I would say that's kind of plenty of time in Kickstarter world as well. Like you're saying, like it's usually the last week that goes absolutely insane. And I've been involved in a couple of Kickstarters just recently, as in buying into them, not setting them up myself. And the same thing happened the last week. All of a sudden it goes, you know, stretch goal crazy. People start realizing that, or they make that decision, don't they? I think Kickstarter, people are still kind of trying to work things out a little bit, you know, consumers are. And it seems to be the way these kind of things are going, not just for your book, but say like the toy industry, and a lot of kind of other industries like that. The game board industry seems to be massive on there. I mean, people are still getting over that thing of pledging at this stage now. Is exactly the same as pledging in the last 2 seconds of that.
You're
in the same boat every single time. So, you know, I think that getting over that hump of like, I'm spending this money now, but, you know, being better with it spent at the end, like getting over that hump is like a weird one. You've obviously had a successful Kickstarter campaign previous to this one. Did that have any bearing on you going this route again with this particular art book?
Well, I mean, when you've had a successful one, you've already got that group that, you know, funded the first one. So you can send a message saying, hey, here's another one. Of course, only do that if you delivered on the first one,
which
I did.
Don't do it like a pyramid scheme.
No, don't do that. That's that's gonna you're gonna come to the tip of that pyramid or the bottom or whichever way it goes. But yeah, I mean, I fulfilled the first one pretty quickly, so just kind of built on that. It wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. I tend to keep my rewards so they'll all kind of fit in one envelope and not go crazy. And yeah. So I'm very wary of what I offer.
Mike Chabba's sail barge. Yeah, nothing like that size, right?
No, okay. No. I want to keep things flat.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I just actually, there was, what was it? It was an IDW. Olivio Ramondelli did a Kickstarter through IDW with a few of his sketches. Mm-hmm. And that came in like one of those, it was quite nice. It was like, obviously you had like the tube, with rolled up tube full of prints.
Right.
And then the comics and then some other bits and pieces like prints and a t-shirt, I think maybe, and badges and stuff. So they were all, but it was all in like, it was all in one of those things where you open it and you're like, how did all of this get in here? So I'm expecting that from you this
okay,
time.
Okay, yeah, you're going to open that envelope. It's going to be like a pop-up book.
Like Mary Poppins pulling like
right,
a lamppost.
Right, yeah, just keep pulling that stuff out.
Amazing. Now, as you mentioned before, you revealed a stretch goal at the $10,000 level. Will you be adding more as the campaign continues, or possibly after hitting the funding goal, or is this kind of like just one for now kind of thing?
Well, for now, if it gets close to it within a week, I'll probably add more. I've toyed with maybe going hardcover, but that's going to add some serious shipping costs. I'll probably just stick to adding more content. I'm not sure what that would be. One of the other goals would be adding multiple characters to commissions, because a lot of the rewards are involve just an extra commission. But I've limited it to one character at first, but I'll probably expand that to two. I think I did expand it to two on the 10,000, but I may add some other things. So.
Awesome. Now, in terms of the actual book itself, do you have any samples in hand for yourself, like to see what it would kind of end up being like, or are you going like, you comparing it to like another book that's already out there, or do you not really know as yet until you get those samples in hand?
Well, I know what size it's going to be. I mean, it's 8.5 by 11. Nice. And I've
feet.
Worked with this that, coming out of that letter sized envelope. But I mean, I've worked with this company before, so I know the quality of the paper and everything. So I pretty much have a good idea what it's going to look like.
Fantastic. Okay. As we spoke before the podcast kicked off, so no one's going to understand why I've brought that up. But you managed to build a really healthy YouTube audience over the past year or so. I say healthy. I mean, it's huge. It's like over 2,000 now. Was it 2,500
Yeah,
subscribers?
I think so.
That's congratulations on that.
Thanks.
Has building that audience been important in not just getting your talents out there, but also in starting this, or, you know, kind of having the confidence to start this Kickstarter?
Well, it's, you know, it's as a freelance artist, I've had to put on my business hat more and more, and my marketing hat. And, you know, you've got to be on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. And YouTube was one I wanted to do just to see if I could do it and connect with the audience that way. And once I got doing it, I just really enjoyed doing it. So, you know, I'll do little like convention videos, which is more to entertain myself than anybody else, but some people seem to like them.
They're great.
And then the normal thing is just a quick informal vlog about whatever, you know, I'll get questions about freelancing or making comics, or I did a series on Webtoon, which was, I think, contributed a whole lot to the growth. My most viewed videos are actually Webtoon videos.
Yeah.
And then I'll do a live hangout once a month. And those, I mean, when I first did the first one, I think I've done three. The first one, I was like, well, this will probably last 20 minutes and a person, you know, there'll be two people there. But, you know, there's actually, it went on for like 2 hours. Wow. And I mean, I had to, like, every time I've had to say, I'm going to bed now.
Yeah.
So it's been good. And like we talked earlier, I have people coming up and saying, you know, I watch your YouTube channel and stuff. And I've had people come up and say, I feel like I know you. And I'm like, well, you kind of do. I just don't know you.
You've laid it bare. That's unfortunate. You're at a disadvantage at that stage, probably.
Right. That's all right.
I feel like I know you as well, but we have actually met. Well,
more than once. So that's different.
That counts. I'm counting that. So in terms of the actual channel itself, I mean, I've found it, like, when you first started it, you know, sometimes you kind of want to support your friends. You want to support people that you know, and you know, their stuff comes up. And when I started viewing your videos, I realized actually there was a lot of worth to them. And that wasn't one of those things where I'm just thinking like, oh, I'm just going to watch the video just for the sake of it, just, you know, to help Brian out. It wasn't that at all. It was more like, oh, this is quite interesting. And then before I knew it, I'm kind of end up stopping everything when that notification comes through on my phone and going, well, Brian's going to talk for a few minutes, so I get to kind of see what he's going to what to say. So I kind of got into that very like that almost routine of right. just like constantly just watching everything you put through. So I mean, what you're doing is definitely, I think, quite important in terms of you kind of get an in on how it's done, on how to do things, and you're actually giving quite a lot of good information out there, you know, for free technically.
Right. Yeah.
So is it difficult from your standpoint, you know, being obviously part as a freelancer working with IDW, is it difficult to try and get that balance of what you can kind of put out there in terms of information and what you kind of have to keep back?
I just won't spoil things as far as story wise, or if, you know, if it's something that,
I suppose, in a way, when you're doing like the pages and stuff, the lettering hasn't been done at that stage, has it? So
no.
You can always get away with some action pages, can't you?
Yeah, every once in a while I'll take a panel if it's nothing spoiled. I don't want to do two things. I don't want to spoil the story.
Yeah.
For one, I want to wait till it comes out. So I'll pick a page or a panel that's just, you're not really going to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like my editor to say, hey, could you not post basically video the whole issue before it comes out, which I don't know that he would, but yeah. I'm just not going to take a chance.
Yeah.
So that's really the only thing. Everything else is just, I mean, I'll just talk about whatever, from whatever pens and ink I use to...
That's really important, though.
Setting up at... Because I forget, like, basic stuff. Like I've been doing it so long, like, yeah. I take it for granted that, why wouldn't you know this? And then I think, well, I didn't know it when I started.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, I'll talk about setting up at conventions and how that has changed, just the setup, you know, over the years, and where I am with it. And sometimes, you know... I show up with, I'm going to talk about how to do this. And sometimes it's just, hey, I have no idea what the solution to this is, but here's just what's kind of going on in my head at the moment. So, yeah.
I've actually got a lot of good kind of, like, you know, I quite enjoy the stuff when you talk about the freelance side of things and working freelance and that whole aspect of it, because I do the same thing. And just watching those videos was kind of almost like there was a lot of... I don't know, like not reaffirmation, but, you know, like getting that kind of justification of a few things.
Right.
Where, you know, sometimes it's going to be lean. Sometimes you're going to get like a tidal wave and you're going to be working for, you know, weeks on end and all through the night, and then it'll go barren again. So it's like a Kickstarter project.
yeah, pretty much.
So I've really kind of got a lot from those episodes of the show, but also the stuff that you say, like when you're talking about what kind of, like colors, for example, when you're doing the colors on your art, I mean... That I've got so much out of, and just even like how quick you just go through with, like, say, colors over ink you've already done. You know, in the past when I've done that, it would just, you know, the two would bleed together, or it wouldn't come out right. And you doing it, and it's like, well, what are you using? And then I found out, and I'm like, right, I'm getting some of those. So that's been really important. Have you had other people? Have you had a lot of feedback on those videos with people saying, thanks for doing that, thanks for doing that?
Yeah, I get a lot. You know, the color, well, I almost didn't post posted, and I think more so on Twitter and Instagram, the videos of me kind of going over with the colors on a commission or something.
Yeah.
And I've translated some of those into a YouTube video or two, just talking about what I do. And I get a lot of feedback from there. People seem to enjoy just watching it. They're like, oh, this is relaxing.
Yeah, I'm
like,
oh, really therapeutic. Okay. Yeah.
but then I'll have, you know, I've had pros ask me on Instagram. They're like, why are your inks not bleeding? And I'll say, well, you know, this is what I do.
Amazing.
And they're like, oh, I didn't even think to do that. And so
that must be quite a good feeling when that happens. I mean, you're a pro. You've been a pro for many years now, effectively. So when you say other pros, I mean, that must be quite, again, that must be quite, you know, reaffirming that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. It's nice when someone, you know, supports your Kickstarter, or, you know, asks you a question or says something on, you know, on social media, and you're like, well, that, you know, I'm not the loser I feel like I am, I guess. So.
Oh, not at all. And coming back to the Kickstarter, volume one, I mean, that suggests we could be seeing many, many more volumes following this one. Successful, is that the idea?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep drawing, and if it's successful, I would, you know, like to have a volume one. I mean, I'm an optimist, so I'll go ahead and put the volume one on there. But I think just the Art of Brian Shearer Volume 1 kind of gives it there's a feel to that title,
yeah,
that's something you want to support as in a series. And sometimes I stumble on little marketing things like that by accident. I think, oh, well, you know, that if I were looking at something and yeah, I saw it was Volume 1, I would, might be just a hair more likely to want to be a part of it.
No,
you know?
Totally. Yeah, it's a great idea. It's like they called Rambo initially, didn't they? And then when they brought Rambo... Was it Rambo First Blood?
Oh, it was First Blood.
And then they had to go back and change it to Rambo First Blood Part 1, didn't they, because of Part 2. So, you don't have to do that. Maybe call it The Art of Brian Shearer First Blood.
First Blood Part 2, and that'll be the first one.
Oh, you should definitely do that.
Somebody suggested I do Volume 2 Stuff That Chris Says or something.
That would be brilliant. That would be brilliant.
Yeah, I told Chris I'm going to make him famous, because he's not. The thing about Chris is, and people might not, if you ever see me at a convention with this guy who's wearing probably an anime shirt next to me, that's Chris. And he's not on any social media. Like, he has email, he checks every once in a while, but he's not on Twitter or Facebook. The only place he's on is my YouTube channel.
That's amazing.
And so I'm like, I'm going to make you famous. You're my goal.
Chris Canada is off the grid, isn't he?
He basically is. Well, he thinks he is.
Not anymore.
Not now.
he does some work for you, doesn't he? Like, does he come in and do some of your eBay stuff?
Yeah, he handles like the eBay stuff, and he comes to shows and helps me, you know, set up the table and watch it if I'm out and about and stuff, and awesome. Basically just keep me company. So he's one of my oldest friends. I've known him since college.
Well, say hi to Chris for me, because
I will.
I haven't seen him since. Was it Rollout Roll Call? He wasn't.
Yeah, it was in London. Yeah.
Wasn't at New Hampshire, London. Was he?
No.
Oh, man. Yeah, say hi to Chris for me. Okay, so with the Kickstarter, end game for this particular one. Now, you've got like loads and loads and loads of work over the years you've been, you know, doing this. Like you said before, you haven't got everything in this book, I take it. I mean, I take it there is like loads more art that didn't make it into the book but could possibly... Oh, yeah. Go into a volume two, or is the stuff that you're just not that, you know, you kind of like maybe early on in the career kind of thing that you're not that?
Well, this is there is some things I haven't put in, and since I've put the book together, there's like been stuff I've done since then that I'm like, well, if it gets, you know, meets another stretch goal, I may put it in, or it could go into a volume two. So I've said I have a disease. I must have a disease, because it's like I work all day drawing, and then at night to unwind I draw. That's why I have this Kickstarter.
you're your own worst enemy in this
one, pretty much. Right?
But no, absolutely, like, congratulations on getting this up and running. I really hope it does, actually. I'm sure it will meet the goal, and the at least, you know, minimum the $7,000 goal. I really want, you know, that book. So if it doesn't make it, could you just do it for me anyway?
Sure. If you would just write me a check for $7,000.
Damn it. That's the only way it could happen. No, but good luck with that one, Brian, anyway. And we'll let's move on and talk about your work on some other stuff at the moment. As well as the current Kickstarter you have going on, Brian, you've also been working hard on both G.I. Joe A Real American Hero and the spin-off series, G.I. Joe A Real American Hero versus the $6 Million Man, longest title in human history. First off, could you explain your role on these titles and how you got involved with G.I. Joe books in the first place, please?
Let's see. Well, how I got involved, I think... that's so long ago.
I know.
So I've inked on Real American Hero, I inked... probably 45 to 50 issues of it over Shannon Gallant. And at the moment, I'm actually penciling and inking issue 253.
Nice.
So, but I first got started, I just did a fill-in. I think they needed help and it just happened to be over Shannon. Oh, I don't remember what it was. It was, there was an issue I was doing over Ron Wagner. I think it was 173.
Cool.
And there was a flashback scene or something that Shannon was doing, and Shannon liked my inks and he kept asking for me. And finally, you know, it just, I started inking, and then, you know, 50 issues later.
That's awesome.
Here we are. So, that's how that happened.
So thank you, Shannon.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I mean, that must have been a real boost when you found out that the guy's asking for you too.
And I think we all were kind of spoiled, because being on a book for that long these days is pretty much unheard of.
Yeah.
So, you know, every month I just kind of took it for granted. Got ink this book this month, got ink this book. And then now with the end of last year thing, we were taking off the book and put on $6 Million Man. And because they're kind of shaking things up and getting rotating, I think, people in and out of Real American Hero. And so now it's like, now I always was freelance, but now I actually feel like I'm freelance, because it's like, well, once I'm done with this issue, I'm not exactly sure what's next.
Yeah. So. Oh, that must have been a bit weird, a bit worrying. Yeah.
Well, I've got some stuff coming up, just some side projects in here and there. But as far as just the IDW stuff, my editor says I'm going to keep you busy. But you know, what that actually looks like, I still don't know.
Yeah. I was actually really, really glad that you posted that you were doing the 253 issue, because then I thought, oh, good. Because initially it felt like when they did the Dawn of the Arashikage storyline, it felt like yourself and Shannon had been kind of shifted away to do that $6 Million Man run, which, by the way, I've been absolutely loving.
I had fun doing it. It was a fun book.
It's so much fun. But yeah, so I was kind of a bit concerned you wouldn't be on the Real American Hero, but it sounds like you're going to be kind of brought back.
Yeah. Shannon had asked, because he's a huge, anything 70s, early 80s, like Bionic Man. And when he heard about the crossover, he's like, I want to do that book. That's why we moved over. They're trying to get Joe, because, you know, Joe's been going on so long, and at the moment there's not a cartoon, there's not really a movie. Well, I don't guess there's movies. It's not as big a property as like Transformers at the moment. So they're trying to, you know, I think do what they can to say, okay, here's where we are with this. Let's try to make it bigger. And so it's just going to involve, that's what I'm doing with 253. And I think it starts at 251, there's like five or six issues of basically special missions that Larry's writing. So, you know, I think Larry he hasn't said this, but I get the feeling he's enjoying mixing it up a little bit rather than the continuity. Now it's like, hey, we're going to focus on Duke or the Baroness or, you know,
Destro,
Stalker. Yeah, Destro.
I definitely did feel that with Larry. I felt like he was almost going through the motions at one point when it was going on for like so long. And then when the Dawn story arc popped up, there was this huge, like, I don't know, almost like a rush of just enjoyment on the page. And you could really feel it through it, you know, like kind of reading it and stuff. So I think that, that kind of change up probably is, I don't know, for the best at times. But in terms of inking it, I think you could get away with doing the whole thing, really, personally, Brian. But anywho, process-wise, could you take us through what your process is going through on both of these titles? We'll start with the $6 Million Man. What do you have to do? What process do you go through? And then where does it go after you've dealt with it?
Well, Shannon, he does the pencils, and then I download them and I print them out on Bristol board. And, you know, it's with us, it's because it's me and him and Jim Brown. It's the same creative team as Real American Hero. So we're, you know, I do a thing and I can ink Shannon pretty well, you know, pretty quickly at this point after so long. So it's a pretty smooth process. It's, you know, do the page and scan it in and then send it off to Jim and then wait for a check.
So you have, like, because I'm just getting my head around this, you have to do every single page, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's every page. I've got a large format printer, so I have to, in Photoshop, I'll put the pencils on there and I'll change them to blue. So it's a blue line printout, so it doesn't show up when I rescan it. And then it's traditionally inked and then scanned back in.
Wow. Okay. And then that goes through. Okay. And then you send that information off, and then they take it, and then you just wait. you wait for that parachute drop.
Yeah. Wait for that carrier pigeon to come knocking on my window.
That's brilliant. In terms of that process, how long does that take you to get through a comic usually?
Well, with just inking, I can do it in about 2.5 weeks non-stressed. 2.5 to 3 weeks. Although the last issue of the $6 Million Man, issue 4, I can't remember what happened, but I think I had some conventions coming up. I think I was getting ready to fly out to Cleveland, but I did half that issue in like a week.
Wow.
Because it was a really tight thing. So it was like, and I had a cold. So
there were
that was brutal.
But did any of the snot make it onto the scan?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so.
Because it's green, right?
So it doesn't Yeah.
Brilliant. You also released some amazing panels from that 253, which will flash up on the screen, of course. you're working on $6 Million Man crossover as well. Is the aim to fully illustrate your own Joe book at some point? I mean, would that be something you would be really into?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm almost doing it with this, with doing the pencils and inks. And yeah. I almost colored it. I was going to color it, but the deadline is just too tight. I just don't have time. So yeah. I'm open to that. I can do it. It's more of a time thing. I think the book got a little, they're trying to get the schedule caught back up. So yeah. My editor asked me if I was going to color it. I'm like, no, just, I think that would be a disaster time wise. So,
I mean, you come across as a man of many talents. Obviously you are, you're inker, penciler, inker, artist in general, colorist, all of those different things. Is that the norm for most freelance guys at IDW, or is it the case of some are just specialists in the like one or two areas? Because it seems like you can do all of it.
I think most people, I know that IDW typically likes to work with people that can pencil and ink themselves.
Yeah.
That doesn't always work out, obviously, because I, inked for so long, and I have friends that ink books, and a lot of times for guys penciling, especially on Transformers, they'll just get behind.
Transformers, it's like, there's so much detail in those bloody comics.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want a splash page with every Transformer on it, please. Okay.
Yeah. That takes a while. Yeah. So as far as how many people, can hop in and do everything, I really don't know. The guys that I know on Transformers and, the Joe guys, I know Shannon can, pencil and ink himself. He would always pencil and ink his own covers.
Yeah.
And he does color commissions and things, but I think it's more of a time thing. I mean, because it's publishing. So
yeah.
If you add something, one guy can build a Cadillac, but it'll take him a lot longer than the assembly
the
line.
Team, exactly. Yeah. So are you building any Cadillacs for the next? No. Now, with all that said, I mean, what would be your kind of ideal property to work on? Are there any out there that you haven't worked on yet, or is it just, are you satisfied as it is at the moment, just with all of the work coming in?
Well, I mean, I'm a parent, so I'm just happy to have those carrier pigeons bringing those checks. But, I would like a crack at like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I did a cover, it's been years ago now, a variant for it, but I think that would be fun to do. I'd like a crack at actually penciling Transformers. I've inked a lot of it, and most of the commissions I get are Transformers, but I've never actually penciled or done a cover. So, I go back and forth, and my editor knows I can draw Transformers. It's just, hey, just here to remind you, I can do Transformers. So I have found that's the thing. It's like editors are always busy. They're always slammed. And, if you're working with them, they want to hear from you. They want to be reminded, but they don't always get back, just because if you're not, your project's not on fire at the moment.
Yeah.
You're fine. Then they're like, okay, he's fine. Now they're registering your email, but, they may not respond right away. So you just have to be on top of, hey, just a reminder, I'd like to try X, Y, or Z or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
well, you say the Transformer stuff, I've been loving the kind of commissions you've been doing. The Jetfire one was exceptional. Blaster was really cool. Just everyone that you kind of do. Did you do Brawn? I remember you doing Brawn.
Yeah. I can't sell them. Nobody wants poor old Brawn. Brawn and Gears, man. I did a Brawn and Gears last year at a show.
They're brilliant, though.
Nobody wants to give them a home.
That's
I don't know.
Well,
it is. I'm gonna draw a little tear on both of them.
I may after this show is done, I may try and sort that out with you at the end.
Okay.
And also, I've got to flash up the commission you did for me back in New Hampshire. That was absolutely gorgeous. The Tiger Force Outback.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely adore that. We still haven't framed it, but only because we have no space.
Right.
that probably will never change. But yeah, absolutely adore that commission. Yeah. Okay. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining me tonight on the show. We really appreciate you coming on and chatting with us about the Kickstarter and everything. And obviously, if you want to find that, how can people get hold of you in the social department, and we'll put these links as well on the video and everything.
Twitter and Instagram, it's the same. It's Brian_Shearer. You can find me on Facebook, just search for Brian Shearer. My art page is Brian Shearer Art, so just tag that on to the end of facebook.com, and my website's brian-shearer.com. So any of this, find one of those things and you can find the rest of them.
And also, if you follow us as well, I mean, we're constantly posting stuff of Brian, so We will we'll also put all those links in this video on YouTube, on Facebook. So if there's no excuse, there's no excuse not to. If I get anyone commenting saying, how do I find this? How do I find that? I will go completely crazy. There will be three or four, I bet.
Right.
I'm looking at all of you listeners. So thank you so much, Brian. That's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to our wonderful guest, Brian Shearer. See you next time. And as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of these platforms with feedback, questions, or to say, who do you think you are? A serious operation now? No, not even close. Look out for more of these news bursts that we are posting on the Facebook page from now on. Full Force.